Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You're the first.
Okay.
How was your day with Tony and the doctor?
No, it's tomorrow. He goes to the doctor.
Okay.
You know, today. Trying to cook for Sunday, you know, for Hoshana Rabbah, and clean house, and a million other things.
How did Judy fare? Is it still flooded?
I haven't talked to her today, but I think she got someone. Someone came and helped her put another tarp over the camper.
Right.
We just had a little drizzle today. It wasn't too bad. Tomorrow's supposed to be sunny, so maybe everything will dry out.
So if you want, we can go forward, or if you want to wait for somebody.
No, it's okay. If you want to go first.
Right. So we're starting with the L'shem Yehud, and we're starting with Pasuk 395 in section 36 of Parasha Lech Lecha. L'shem Yehud kud shabri chu ishkinte bitkilu urkimu utkilu utkilu urkimu liachta l'shem yud he bavate. The Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, Lasok Torah Mitzvah, Vayhino Am Adonai Eloheinu Elena Maasei Yadeinu Kananeas, Elena Maasei Yadeinu Kananehu. Pasuk 395. Kamachara Patach We Amar Vayehi Vaderech Bamalon vayif kishehu Hashem vayik vakesh Hamito leman lemoshe amar lo Kud shabarichu wiki at azel Liyapata yat Yisrael memitzrayim Ulah Daya Malka Rav Shalita the At Ansheye Yit Minach Kayama Divrach La Yitzgazar Miyad Vay Bakesh Amito. The translation for verse 395. Another man stood up and said, as it is written, and it came to pass on the way to the inn that Hashem met him and sought to kill him. Whom had he sought to kill? Moses. The Holy One, blessed be he, said to him, you are about to go and bring Israel out of Egypt and overcome a great and powerful ruler. While you neglect a precept, your son is not yet circumcised? Immediately then, he sought to kill him. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. Again, we see the importance of the Brit Milah. Death comes early to one who neglects the Brit, or is there time to do teshuvah? Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, it's pretty clear. I thought the same thing. You know, we see the importance of it. And I thought, and I did have a thought of, you know, Moses, because of his spiritual level, you know, and Hashem, that we're the word as teachers and scholars and sages are treated I think, sooner maybe than possibly other people sometimes, the effect of what has been done is a little bit harder on those who know better.
The higher one is spiritually, the finer the level of the judgment.
Right. I was having hard words trying to say that, but you did.
But what does the Zohar say about this event in Moses' life? He's traveling to Egypt from Moab. And he's got his wife with him, and he's got his two children. And his youngest son had just been born, and he left Moab before the circumcision. And so the man met him on the way, which was basically the Satan. And the Satan turns into a snake, according to the Midrash, and swallows Moses' feet up until his waist, and then spits him out. And then he swallows his head down to his waist. And Zipporah does the circumcision on the baby. And then they proceed.
Well, I've never heard that midrash before.
Well, if Hashem really wanted to kill Moses, wouldn't he be dead?
Yeah.
So what is the idea? What is the question or the emphasis that's being added?
Well, I think your question, or is there time to do teshuva?
Obviously, Moshe realized his error and did teshuva, while according to the Midrash, the snake is swallowing him. But it doesn't say, the Midrash doesn't say that he told Zipporah to do the circumcision. She took it upon herself, according to the words of the Torah.
But there had to be some kind of discussion before she did that act.
There must have been a discussion about whether to travel there.
Mm-hmm.
There must have been a discussion between a husband and a wife about what's more important, to do the circumcision or to travel for the redemption? Which would you choose?
I think it's also telling us that, you know, when we have these things that happen, we need to ask ourselves what did we do? You know, that caused it. I mean, if he was so sick that he couldn't do the circumcision himself, and she had to do it, and that he had to be near death. I think we're bringing out points that we just didn't think of in that portion that we know very well. You know, it is really.
There's a lot of times we find that to be true, don't we?
Yes.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Marka.
That had to be, if it's a physical state of swallowing Moshe from feet, from his feet, and then from the head down, had to be a dramatic scene. if we're talking physically. And if we're talking spiritually, what a paralysis of some sort that he had, like, you know, darkness. I'm trying to visualize his wife and his children. I know one was a baby. The other was probably, what, 3 to 5 years old, possibly?
Probably a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old.
Okay. So we're talking about... Are we talking about a physical massive snake? Or are we talking something spiritually? What are we talking about with swallowing?
Well, first off, a snake does not have to be massive. The bones, the lack of bone structure in a snake, the way a snake eats, it swallows its prey whole.
Right.
And then it digests it over months or weeks or days, whatever, however long it takes.
Uh-huh.
So if the snake starts to swallow Moses' legs, the only miracle in the event is that it didn't go all the way up to its head. It spit him out and then went to his head and swallowed it that way. So, according to the Midrash, it is definitely a physical snake.
Okay.
And since he was still able to breathe and talk as the snake is swallowing him, he can't move because the snake is large enough to absorb his feet and move up his legs. You know, how fast that is, I have no knowledge. But he had time to do teshuvah. But the question I asked, you're asking about the spiritual cause. What did Moses do that caused him to be under a death threat, under a death sentence?
Well, he didn't do the bread. He didn't obey the Torah. He did not reveal the light to his child.
But based on his information, there was no Torah. He did not know. On a physical level, he had been given the information. God gave him an order. Go to Egypt to redeem the children of Israel.
True.
And his wife gave birth.
But if he did the bread on his first child, why wouldn't he remember to see how important that is for the second? So he knew if he did it for his first child.
Remember, Moses is given information as a child about the Hebrews, about the children of Israel. He was
right.
Breastfed by his mother, his
right.
True birth mother, Yocheved. But he was also taught the attitude of the ruling class in Egypt. So what was more important? Isn't it more important to redeem 600 or 3 million people, 600,000 men and so forth, rather than one baby? So I can do the brit on the baby after the redemption. Why do I have to do it before? And that also applies, because we just read a little bit about Joshua. Joshua was told to have the children of Israel do the brit because the tribes didn't do it while they were walking in the desert. And they didn't die from not doing the brit, but they couldn't enter the land without it.
Right. Just as just as Moses could not be the Redeemer without doing the Brit to his own children. That's what I think, anyway. He was being elevated to a higher level, so he had to finish that elevation before he could be the Redeemer.
Well, isn't the child part of that elevation?
Yes. It is.
Maybe Zipporah was against it.
Well, we have nothing in the Torah that indicates she might be against it.
Well,
she was the daughter of Yitro. Yitro, he might not have been Jewish. He might not have been a child of Israel, but he understands spiritually what is the circumcision. What is the removal of the foreskin?
Removing the klipot.
It's the removal of the klipot.
Mm-hmm.
Moses, as the Redeemer, has to remove the klipot from associating with him. You have a child who has a foreskin. You have the klipot close to you. Moses could not be the Redeemer unless he circumcised his son.
Right. That's my thought. That's exactly what I think. And maybe they were coming for his child instead of Moshe. But because if you don't do the Brit, you said death comes upon you. So, I don't know.
It's very possible. Everything you're saying, Malka, has great perception. When you read the story in the Torah, it doesn't make any sense. Moses is going to Egypt to redeem the children of Israel, and he's accosted in the desert. His life is threatened. And then the little bit of the story is finished and it goes on.
Mm-hmm.
So what spiritual law is it teaching us? That you have to remove the klipah prior to any redemption. Now what is the meaning of a redemption? Is a redemption mean you're growing spiritual?
Yes.
A redemption is to leave a lower level of spirituality and climb to a higher level of spirituality. The spiritual law is you must remove the klipah in order to grow spiritually. But the swallowing by the snake is an indication that you first must fall before you can climb. Before you can rise spiritually, you first must fall.
All right.
You first must remove the klipah. In Moses' case, his rationale, certainly logical, that the redemption of 600,000 couples and 600,000 families is more important than removing the klipah from one child.
Right. And Moses
Moses had to realize, and we have to realize, that each klipah that is around us is holding us back.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, that's why Moses was such a great leader, because he was not thinking of himself or his family.
Correct.
To a certain extent, that he was thinking of saving the, you know, millions of other people. So there's his humility. You know, he was just that type of leader. That's why he was a great leader of the Israelites.
Correct. He was a phenomenal leader. There is no other prophet like Moses.
Mm-hmm.
But you also learn that why didn't Moses see this truth himself? And the answer is, when it's your tikkun, they never show it to you until afterwards.
Right.
When you're not sure what to do, as Moses and Zipporah were not sure what to do, as we're surmising. They were not sure, should they go and redeem the slaves, or should they do the mitzvah? When you don't know what to do, it's your tikkun. And if you're never going to be shown what to do, but you can follow the recommendation of the basic class 6, which is to choose what's your path. What is more difficult for you to do? Redeem 600,000 people, 600,000 families, or to remove the circumcision?
Well, evidently it was a circumcision for Moshe.
Correct. Why? Because he was always thinking of the people and not his family.
Why? And it sort of continued that way throughout his whole deliverance, you know, of the people, because he kind of set his family aside, because we don't hear too much about them, you know, after he goes to Egypt, and I think the poor went back to her father, correct? And so you just don't hear much of family after that. He had a larger family. They were inclusive.
Correct. We learn a lot of things, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We're almost out of time. We'll just have a few more minutes, but so we don't have time to do the next verse. Are there any further questions, or we'll just call it the time?
I still think that Zipporah, the way she answered, it was as if she was disgusted.
The way the Torah reads, it does give you that impression. She was disgusted that the snake was swallowing her husband.
I would imagine. I think she was probably wanting to do the Brit before they left, is my opinion. And maybe that's why she was disgusted, because she was waiting to do this Brit. But she knew what to do. I mean, she did it. She knew what to do. She wasn't told how to do it. She did it because she had the experience with her first challenge. She knew how important that was. So I think she was disgusted because she wanted to wait to do the Brit, didn't it, Vaughn?
But put it on a different level. You've just given birth 8 days ago. Are you ready to walk 300 miles?
No.
But she called him, I think, a husband of blood. I always thought that she was referring to the circumcision itself, you know, that...
Well, that's a good statement, because after they have all, they're unclean for how many days? 14 days?
After the sun, they're unclean for 14 days plus. After the sun, they're unclean for 7 days plus. They're unclean for 33 days, including the 8 days, the first 7 or 8 days, and then there's an additional form of uncleanness. So there's a total of 33 days for a son and 66 days for a daughter.
So maybe that statement, your blood husband, maybe she was talking about herself as well, because here she was, she just had a baby, and she's slowing menstrual-wise, you know? Don't know.
Correct.
Could be many things, right? 70 reasons.
There are many things. We really should go back and reread those verses from the Torah and see what the words are actually saying. I'm just coming from memory. I think Hannah's coming from memory as well, as I'm sure Balka is also. So, you know, the proper way to study the Zohar, but we don't have the time, is to bring all of those verses into the verse. That's the Zohar is explaining the verse, but we have to look and see what the Torah is telling us about the story.
Okay.
You have a good evening.
Good. Thank you.
Shalom.
Oh, thank you.